Blog Talk Radio.
Young Super Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Show. A show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub in your interaction with him. Also, your interactions with one another and strangers, meaning different nations. But before we get started, you know, on this show, I had conversation with Cartrell and Abia over the weekend. And during that conversation, I felt that I need to expound upon much more than when I say our thinkers are broken. And certainly they are. But what do I really mean? And let me get down to the bottom of it. And let me explain what I'm talking about. Yes, your mind, your physical mind, that receives knowledge by your studying somewhat, it can be broken also, but the core of you that drives you, that motivates you, that pushes you to make the right decision and a wrong decision, the heart of a man or woman, that core element that tells you something is right and something is wrong, which should compel you to do right, even when the information that you receive may be so-called good information. Yes, it's sort of like a two-part component. You know, you receive, a lot of people receive knowledge. They get all this knowledge and whatever through their physical component, their mind. And sometimes that knowledge is tainted. And sometimes the core of a man or woman tells them so. That ain't right. That don't sound right to me. You know, something that's connected to Yah or should be tells a man or woman, that ain't right. But if that heart is not connected to your creator and is tainted and warped, no matter what good knowledge you get in your mind, your heart can't compel you to do right or wrong because it's warped and tainted. So at the end of the show, when I said, get you a new thinker, what I really mean is get you a new heart. Something, no matter what you get up in that physical component of your mind that receives knowledge, will be able to tell you right from wrong. Case in point, as I said, some people receive knowledge, but they can't digest it because their heart is corrupted. It don't tell them, no, that ain't right. You know, that do that because it's warped. And so what I mean, at the end of every show, get you a new heart that will compel you to do right, even though you're receiving right or wrong information. And even that being said, if your heart is not right, whatever information you may receive in that human receptacle that we call a brain, whatever decision making you make. So when I say get you a new thinker, what I'm basically saying is get you a new heart. That is the core element of a person, which should be connected to Yah. Truth be told. So before we get into our studies, you know, I like to make contemporary comments about ongoing subject matters. Some people are taking liberties to chastise Maxine Waters about some statements she made in response to the Derek Chauvin trial. You see, I'm one of the sort like this. I don't chastise any victim for their experience. See, their experience may not be like my experience in this captivity. Therefore, I have no right to chastise any victim of this system. Any victim has the right to say whatever they want to say, how they want to say, when they want to say, as a victim. And without hearing Yum Su say, hey, you shouldn't talk about this system like that. No. Every victim has the right to say and express their experience, okay? Without chastisement from Yum Su, Cartrell, Abia, anybody else for that matter. That's their experience. That's how they see their captivity. And they have a right to express themselves without any condemnation or criticism from any victim. And another thing, what do I have to say about the Derek Chauvin trial? Well, the prosecutor put on a good defense, well-rounded, and the defense used the classic defense, which is the dog ate my homework, meaning blame it on the dog. No matter the dog, Maxine Waters, no matter the dog, the folks on the side of the street chastising Derek Chauvin, get off that man. No matter if the dog is some pill that he didn't take, it was somewhere found in the car. No matter, he just found himself under my knee. No matter who that dog was, blame it on the dog, in spite of Derek Chauvin's own actions and his co-conspirators, the other police officers. And what do I expect? Nothing. But I do expect the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give me justice and satisfaction in this endeavor. That's all I expect. And if y'all don't do it, I'm good with it. If he do it, I'm good with it. And I hope he do it. I pray that he do it. Give us justice. A conviction on all accounts. Well, before we get started, let me bring my brother and friend on, Cartrell from New York City. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Shalom. Your mic is hot.
All praise to the Holy One, Yisrael, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless your family also.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
Come on now. Babylon ain't going to give us justice, man. You know that.
No, did you hear? I said I expect something from Yah. I don't expect anything from them.
Right. Don't get your hopes up too high. Because like you said at the beginning of your dissertation, it's all in the heart. Do you think that police officer needed a new heart?
Every one of them on the scene needed a new heart.
Yeah, so they got police science, police training, police know-how, but what was in their heart?
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
So you could have all the knowledge in the world. You could be an expert. You could be a professional. But what's in your heart? And we could see that good intentions wasn't in the heart of Chauvin at all.
Exactly.
The little girl is telling you to get up. Come on, you need to get up.
Little 9-year-old, she had a good heart. She knew right from wrong. That little baby knew right from wrong.
She didn't even know the brother, but she felt for him.
Yeah, she had compassion.
More compassion than a police officer who's supposed to have compassion for the public.
Mm-hmm.
They trying to throw all his physical ailments, his drug addiction and convictions and pills in the car, pills everywhere.
Yeah.
But
no, hey, the dog ate your homework, Cartrell.
They were throwing everything out the wall and hoping that it sticks.
Maxine Waters, movie stars, and folks on the side of the street. The dog ate my homework. It wasn't my fault.
But I think the prosecutor made a valid point in the end, the brother, of course.
Right.
It's like the state doesn't have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that George Floyd had underlying conditions, because he did.
Right.
What the state has to prove is that Chauvin's action caused the death of George Floyd by his actions, the restraint, suffocating him by smothering him with their body.
Yeah,
that ain't
did
no
you?
Good and done well. That three men in your back, with one got their knee in your neck, you definitely cannot breathe if you're handcuffed.
Did you see that photo, Cartrell, of his face and his shoulder that was rubbed raw? Did you see that?
I didn't see the raw shoulder, no.
Yeah, his shoulder and showed his face was rubbed raw from that the asphalt.
They said he was pushing his using his face to push his body up off the ground. Come on, man.
I know.
Using your face to push your body off the ground?
Exactly. Like I said, you know, the defense was the dog ate my homework. If everybody fought but mine, the dog did it. Everybody did it.
And Maxine, all it takes is one juror who ain't got the correct heart. Because the juror can hear all that information, but in his heart, he's going to make sure that police officer gets off.
Exactly. So, like I said, yeah, like I said, Katria, I don't expect anything from him, but I pray to Yah, and I my expectation is from Yah. That's all my expectation is from. Because
power to Maxine Waters. Sisters speaking up. They seem to be so afraid about sisters, but they ain't afraid of that congresswoman talking about she wanted to bring a gun in Congress.
Yeah, the crazy lady. But not, and then, you know, and this boy that's in charge of the Republicans up there, now he got problems. He got a problem with Maxine. He want to oust her. What about the crazy lady up there? What about the 45 you around there kissing his behind? But now you want to oust Maxine Waters because she's telling the truth. Ain't nobody want to hear that, man. Go on, sit down somewhere and go on, play whatever you were playing for Maxine Waters said what she was saying. Ain't nobody want to hear that, what you talking about. You ain't talking about nothing, player, okay?
And what's she calling for? She calling for the people to stand up for justice.
Exactly.
That's all.
Exactly.
If they don't stand up for justice, if they don't do justice, we have reason to be upset.
Exactly.
This is an ongoing cycle that we're tired of going through. Police officers killing unarmed, they say black men. We say Israelite brothers.
Yeah. And sister. Yeah, and sisters.
And sister.
Too. They'll bust
they don't discriminate.
They'll bust a cap in them too. Little children, and this is a violent country anyway. A violent country. And it's getting violent by the day, Katria. Getting violent by the day.
We just had another mass shooting.
I know it. Every day.
Nobody gonna have to keep that flag at half mast until they stop shooting.
He might have well, Katria. Ain't no sense of taking it down.
Correct. Put it up.
Right, until they pass laws that are relevant to what's going on, you might as well keep it where it's at. You're certainly right, Cartrell. All right, my brother and friend, if you're done with your commentary, I am.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna try to get us some, those that don't have a new thinker, a new heart, we're going to try to help you get one. Turn to chapter 21 of 1 Samuel. We're going to get started in our study. May the Most High bless us so we can help get a new heart by the study of his word, and not only by the study, but most importantly, the application of said word. Now, Jonathan said to Dawood, now he wasn't king. I'm not going to call him king yet, but he wasn't king. I'm going to call him king when he get king. Jonathan said to Dawood, go in peace, for we two have sworn to each other in the name of Yah. May Yah be witness between you and me, between your offspring and mine forever, which King Dawood, when he became king, honored that oath. He was a man of his word. Dawood then went his way, and Jonathan returned to the town. Dawood went to... Yes.
Are you at 21?
Yes. Yeah, I kind of went to 42 first, then I connected verse 42 of 20, and I connected it, okay? The verse 42. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. And I connected.
All right.
Okay. Dawood went to priest Amalek at Nob. Amalek came out in alarm to meet Dawood. And he said to him, why are you alone and no one with you? Dawood answered the priest Amalek, the king has ordered me on a mission. And he said to me, no one must know anything about the mission on which I'm sending you, for which I have given you orders. So I have directed my young men to such and such in a place. Don't tell nobody nothing, but which was a misdirection. So I have directed my young men to such and such a place. Now, then, what have you got on hand? Dawood is asking Amalek. Any loaves of bread? Let me have them, or whatever is available. The priest answered Dawood, I have no ordinary bread on hand. There's only the consecrated bread, provided the young men have kept away from women. In reply to the priest, Dawood said, I assure you that women have been kept from us, as always. Whenever I went on a mission, even if the journey was a common one, the vessels of the young men were consecrated when they went to battle or whatnot. You couldn't sleep with women, just like boxers. All the more then may consecrated food be put into our bosoms today. We can eat, but we ain't been with no women. So the priest gave him consecrated bread, because there was none there except the bread of display, the showcase bread, which had been removed from the presence of Yah to be replaced by, you had to replace that bread. And that was old bread out of the show bread that was replaced by warm bread as soon as it was taken away. Now, one of Saul's officials was there and detained before the Elohim. His name was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's chief herdsman, who herded Saul's sheep, the animals, the Edomite. David said to Amalek, have you got a spear or a sword on hand? I didn't take my sword or any of my weapons with me because the king's mission was urgent. I just went on the run. I he picked up nothing. The priest said, there's the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you slew in the valley of Elah. It is over there, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want to take that one, take it. For there's none here but that one. Dawood replied, there's none like it. Give it to me. I already know ain't none like that one. Now, you know, you got to realize Dawood had grown up. He had got healthy. He, you know, he had been in battles and whatnot. He had got his strength together so he could wear that sword. So he'd been in many battles and grown up and whatnot and turned into a man, young man. That day, Dawood continued on his flight from King Saul. And he came to King Achish of Gath. The couriers of Achish said to him, why, that's David, king of Israel, of the land. That's the one whom they sing as they dance. Saul has killed his thousand. Dawood, that's the one they talking about, him right there. These words worried Dawood, and he became very much afraid of King Achish of Gath. So he concealed his good sense. You know, Dawood had a lot of sense, common sense. So he concealed that he had good sense from there. He feigned, he acted like he was crazy for their benefit. He scratched marks on the door of the gate and let saliva run down his beard. Yes, he had a beard. And Achish said to his couriers, you see, that man is raving. That man's an idiot. Why bring him to me? Do I lack a madman? I got enough madmen on my own. I don't need another one, especially in Hebrew. And they brought this fellow to rave for me? Should I let this fellow enter my house? This fellow cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I mean, he's scratching on the walls and on the dough and slobbing at the mouth. You mean to tell me there's Dawood right there? This man is a complete idiot, man. Why should I let him in my house? Cottrell, what say you, my brother and friend?
There's a lot going on here.
Exactly.
King David's on the run from King Saul's trying to kill him.
Right.
And he is a king because he was anointed, and the Philistines saw it. What they say? Isn't this David, king of the land?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They knew he was king.
So they knew he was anointed anyway. So, you know, I said,
just see it on him, I guess.
Well,
it wasn't an official announcement.
Right. Well, I do stand corrected then. In fact, Cartrell pointed out something to me that ran amiss to me. He was anointed. So he actually was king in waiting. Thank you, Cartrell. I stand corrected. Yes, King Dawood was king. He was king in waiting. A correction on my part. I do apologize. Go ahead, Cartrell.
And it was important that he was anointed because he would have been cursed had he eaten that bread. Because the common man is not supposed to eat that bread that he got from the priest.
Right.
Ahimelech.
Right.
So the bread was for him. It wasn't for the men that he said was with him, which were not with him because he was by himself.
Exactly.
It was only for him.
Right.
But he had to lie to the priest in order to keep the priest out of trouble.
Right.
From the king was out to kill King David. So
right.
He wanted to keep it hush-hush so that anybody he came in contact with wouldn't get in trouble. But the fact that King Saul, had one of his men there, because there's ears and eyes everywhere,
right.
Saw King David. with the priest.
Right.
And that's what they noted in this chapter, that one of King Saul's men was there. And he was not an Israelite. He was an Edomite in charge of King Saul's, what was he in charge of? His herds and flocks or something?
His herds and flocks.
Mm-hmm. Why would you put an Edomite in charge of your herds and flocks, Doc?
Well,
show you that's my result.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why.
He put an Edomite in charge of his stuff.
I don't know why he would do that.
Anyway, it's how we treat other nations that want to be a part of our nation.
Yeah, well, truth be told, Katria, I mean, he had no problem with it. And certainly the Edomite had no problem with him, one way or the other.
Right. So the Edomite gave up his lifestyle to live amongst the Israelites, under the Israelite king.
Right.
And we could tell that Yah was in the matter, although Yah is not mentioned in this chapter, because King David, running from King Saul, runs to the priest, and what does he find there? He finds Goliath's sword.
Right.
And it's not the first time he touched that sword, because he took that sword from Goliath and cut his head off.
Exactly.
So he knew how to use that sword even at a young age. But now, like you said, he's a grown man, and he can handle it better.
Right.
So he must not have had his slingshot with him. So he took the next best thing that was available, and that sword was a sign from the Most High that Yah was with him. Yah gave him the sword that he needed.
Exactly.
And then there's that song. There's
that song.
That
song is. Is this the fella Yah come out? He's slobbing at the man, and he's scratching on the wall.
So that song went beyond the land of Israel, which means it was popular, like, worldwide.
Yeah, it was
a song.
Yeah,
people in the world wanted to hear what we were singing.
Yeah, it was like a number one hit, Kadriel.
Yeah.
On the Billboard.
That's why King Saul was enraged.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so King David was wise in that, you know, he didn't let his ego get the best of him. Like, say, yeah, I'm David. You know, I'm the one that killed Goliath. What? Most High's with me. No, he acted like he was somebody else, like he was a madman.
Right.
And he knew, based on him doing that, they would leave him alone.
Right.
So this, he wasn't really a bad man.
Right. This can't be done, man. Yeah. Y'all got the information wrong. This nutty Hebrew. He
must be somebody that looked like him.
Yeah. This is a lookalike. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you're done with your commentaries, Katria, we'll move right along.
The other irony is that he goes to God.
No, it's found to the
That's where Goliath comes from. God.
Are you kidding me? Oh, Kadriel. And they didn't figure out the sword he had.
Yeah, that should have been expose number one. Ain't that Goliath's sword you're carrying?
Hold on. Ain't that Philistine sword right there? Look familiar to me. It looked like Goliath's sword. But see, he must put on a good hit, or either he hit that sword good, one or two. He must put on a good distraction where they didn't even look at the sword, or either he hit it good one way under his garments, one or the other. However, he got it past him.
Amazing, right?
Amazing. That's the most high.
Goliath had a signature sword.
You already know. But look here, Katria. That's the amazing thing about Yah, is that he is amazing. And if you're with him, amazing things happen for you, okay?
That's why King David has so much confidence in him.
Exactly. Amazing things happen when you're with him. And your ultimate trust is in him. Amazing things happen for you. Fellow students, Katria, chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. And we'll continue on in our studies. And as y'all already know, we always say before we begin these studies, may the Most High bless us. Open our eyes. Open our hearts to see his wisdom. And once it is ascertained, make the right application. But you got to have your hearts right. Your heart ain't right, you're not going to get it. So that's why we always say, get you a new thinker. And what I'm saying, not that quote up in your skull, the core element of you which drives you to do the right thing. As King Dawood was a man after the Most High own way of what compels and drives the Most High. Should be what compels and drives you. That's what you should be trying to subscribe to, okay? Not all that wisdom and understanding. That's good. That's good. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with you if you want to put a diploma on your wall. But if the core element in you is warped, no matter what you put in your, that lobe between your skull, it's not going to amount to a hill of beans, okay? So let's make sure we have the right motivating factor, the core element of us that drives and compels us to do what's right or wrong. And if you're a thinker, your heart of you is warped, no matter what we say or how we say, it's going to come out bad. But if your heart of you is right with y'all, what we're studying together is going to come out just right and synchronize. Okay? All right, let's get started. King Dawood departed from there. Because I guess he figured, I got to get out of here. This man has said, I'm King Dawood. I don't even want to know. I got this sword of Goliath. They ain't seen it. They missed that because I'm acting crazy like I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They missed that. I know I got to get out of here. I can't stay around here. And so he escaped to the cage of Adullam. And when his brothers in his father's house heard, they joined him. They joined forces with him. His brother, hey, we down with our brother. His daddy, I'm down with my son. They joined him there. Not only his father and his brothers joined force with him, everyone who was in dire straits, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was desperate joined him. And he became their leader. They were about 400 men with him. King Dawood went from there to Mizpah of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, let my father, he looking out for his daddy and his mama. He know they old. They can't be running around, you know, like that. They can't be. Patrick, what are you doing with all that noise, man? Oh, no doubt, brother. Hold on. We trying to get
that,
a horse.
Dog walking?
Oh, that noise down.
What noise?
What is you doing? Is it a shoulder? Is they trying to undermine the show, Cottrell? I thought that was coming from outside, man. Oh, hey, I do apologize, okay?
Yeah, that's outside my window.
Thank you, Cottrell. Cottrell, so, and fellow students, here's how considerate a man that King Dawood was. Now, he knew his mom and dad was old. They can't be running around with me. So he looking out for his mom and dad. He didn't want to put his mom and dad in dire straits. So much unlike some of us, Katja. That's why I take issue with some of us now. Some of us set so-called leaders among us. They don't mind putting their people, old folk, little children in dire straits. They don't mind putting them in harm's way, long as they are the king of the castle, Katja.
They don't mind feeding off them either.
That's what I'm saying. So they so unlike King Dawood. That's why Yah said, he's a man out of my own. He going to look out for the old folk. He going to look out for the young folk. He going to look out for the baby. Whatever he do, ain't by ego run amok, Cartrell. It's about what's in the best interest of everybody. If I'm a leader, I can't lead from Yum Soup something special. I got to lead from Yah's special, and whatever Yah tell Yum Soup to do, Yah going to do it, and Yum Soup going to follow him. And that being said, I got to look out for everybody else too. See, that's a sign of good leadership, Cartier. But when you got some of these brothers and sisters running their mouth off about everything and don't know much about anything and putting people in harm's way, old folk, young folk, babies, mentally ill folk, that is not the sign of leadership. That's the sign of ego run amok. So unlike King Dawood. See, King Dawood said, hey, my mom and daddy old. They can't be running around here trying to hide with me. I can't put my mom and dad in harm's way. I did this. I need to handle this. And then I need to make sure my mom and daddy get out of the way. Let's continue on our studies, okay?
Yeah, too. My computer just shut off. I don't know why. It started to do that the last couple of days.
I don't know why. Hey, you think it's the alphabet boys that got you?
It could be.
Why go cut off now, Cartrell? That's so convenient.
I didn't tell you I was going to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue on our studies. We'll finish up.
One thing I wanted to say while you were reading is that we can see that King David's family changed their countenance mm-hmm. towards King David, because they're the first ones that came to him when they found out that he was hiding out in a cave. He put his grievances with his brother aside, the way his family treated him, like he wasn't really, part of the family. Mm-hmm. Now they're joining him. And the people that are joining with his family are people that King Saul rejected. And also the fact that he went to the king of Moab. We see that King Saul is using an Edomite, and here
right.
King David is using a Moabite. And King
right.
David is using a Moabite because he got connection with the Moabite, we got to remember, because his
right.
great-grandmother, Ruth, was a Moabite.
Right. Okay. Good deal, Country. But you know what, Country?
So he got family ties. Yeah.
Yeah, he got family ties. You know, because his grandmother, she was a Moabite. So obviously he had ties with him because Ruth was a Moabite. So that would leave the impression that he did have ties with him. You know what I mean, Cottrell? Okay, let's continue, shall we?
My computer did come back on.
That's good. All praises
yeah.
to Yah. All praises
Praise
to Yah. And he says, in regards to his mother, and he tells the Moabite king, let my father and mother come and stay with you until I know what Yah would do for me, till I resolve this matter, okay? I'm not going to put my mom and dad in harm's way. So until Yah is going to let me know what he's going to do for me and this matter is resolved, I want my folks out of harm's way. So he led them to the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as Dawood remained in the stronghold.
So
the prophet,
he didn't want his mother and father to stay in a cave with him.
No, He didn't want to have living rough times. But the prophet Gad said to Dawood, do not stay in the stronghold. Go out at once to the territory of Yehuda, your family territory. So Dawood left and went to the forest of Hereth. Now, but the king thinking Dawood is staying within the stronghold, his territory, but Dawood left by the instructions of Yah. Now, when King Saul heard that King David and the men with him had been located, King Saul was with them at Gabbath, sitting under the tamarisk tree on the height, spear in hand. I mean, that's strange. With all his couriers and attendants, but with a spear in his hand. King Saul
anytime,
said,
anytime King Saul got a spear in his hand,
it's a trouble.
Watch out.
I mean, that was hard. He said it with a spear in his hand. King Saul said to the courier standing about him, listen, men of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give fields and vineyards to every one of you? And will he make all of you captains of 1,000 or captains of 100? I've done that for you. Is that why all of you have conspired against me? Man, this guy has suspicious. He had a suspicious mind. For no one informs me when my own son make a pact with the son of Jesse. No one is concerned for me. No one informs me when my own son has set my servant in ambush against me. Mm-hmm. Is it not the case? Y'all done set me up. I can't trust none one of y'all. That's what he's saying. He lying. He feeling some sort of way, as these young folks say today. He was feeling some sort of way, Cartrell. So Doeg, the Edomite, who was standing among the couriers of King Saul, spoke up. I saw the son of Jesse come to Amalek, son of Ahitub, at Nob. He inquired of Yah on his behalf and gave him provisions. He also gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine.
This is why King David wanted to keep his secret, but unfortunately, snitches in the hood.
Snitches. and loose lips sink ships. Thereupon the king sent for the priest Amalek, son of Haphthor, and for all the priests belonging to his father's house at Nob. They came to the king. They all came to the king. The king said, listen to me, son of Ahithub. And he said, yes, my lord, he replied. And King Saul said to him, why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me? Man, this guy had a mind. You gave him food and a sword. You provided provision and some battle action against me. And then, not only that, you inquired of Yah for him, that he may ambush me, that he may ride and ambush me against me, as now the case. You part of the problem. That's what he's saying. And Ahimelech replied to King Saul, but who is there among all of you, your courage is more trusted than Dawood, King Dawood, son of your majesty, son-in-law of your majesty. He pointed out, he's your son-in-law, and obedient in your bidding. We all know this. And esteemed in your household. This is the first time that I inquired of Yah for him. I've done no wrong. Let not your majesty find fault with his servant or with any of my father's house, my historical house. For your servant knew nothing whatever about this. I didn't know nothing about this. But the king said to him, you shall die, Amalek. You and all your father's house, your historical house. And the king commanded the guards standing by, turn about and kill the priest of the Elohim, for they are in league with King Dawood. They knew that he was running away, and they did not inform me, which in fact they didn't know. But the king's servant would not raise a hand to strike down the priests of the Elohim. Yeah. Thereupon, the king said to Dog, take out the EB dog. Take out the EB dog. Dog, you dog, go and strike down the priest. And Dog, the Edomite, went and struck down the priest himself that day. He killed, that one man killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He put Nob, the town of the priest, to the sword. Men and women, children and infants, oxen, ass and sheep. Oh, this man killed everybody. You can't trust the enemy. But one of the sons of Amalek, son of Haphthor, escaped. His name was Avatar. He fled to King Dawood. When Avatar told Dawood that King Saul had killed the priests of Yah, David said to Avatar, I knew that day when Dog, the Edomite, was there, that he would tell, I knew then he going to tell King Saul, and I'm to blame for all the deaths in your father's house. I should have dealt with him then. He said, stay with me. Do not be afraid. For whoever seeks your life must seek mine also. To get to you, they got to get me first. It would be my care to God. I'm a God. I'm like you. I'm the king, but I'm be your God. I'm a God. I'm going to look after you. See, that's the kind of man King Dawood was. He said, when I knew that Edomite would die, I should have dealt with him there. See, ain't nobody blamed with me. I accept responsibility. You going to say, well, don't be scared. Stay with me. I'm going to look after you. And before they get to you, they got to come through me. That's the kind of man you would have, a woman you would have in your corner. Contrary, what say you?
It's a lot going on in this chapter.
Man, what you say? That dog this wasn't a knife. That dog
called it out right.
Yeah, he wasn't a dog. He was a dog. Take the E out, he would have been a dog.
But like you said, the beauty of King David's character is that he took the responsibility on himself. And he knew what was going to happen, but he really couldn't avoid it. But King Saul was a wicked man. He's going to kill the priest of the Most High. And
man,
he didn't really do nothing.
What you said? I mean, come on. You think these priests going to lie? He said, man, I ain't know nothing about this. I ain't know what he told me this. Yeah, yeah, you conspiring against me. You in league with it.
You thought Donald Trump was bad with the fake conspiracy theory.
Right.
It started at ancient time. This is the first time you're hearing about a fake conspiracy theory. Everybody conspiring against me, like he Charlie Brown or somebody.
What's that country of fake conspiracy theory? That ain't the first time.
That's what it was. He making up all kind of stuff.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Jonathan and King David is conspiring. Y'all conspiring because y'all ain't tell me. The priest is conspiring with David because nobody told me. Come on, man. Stop it.
So stop it.
King David is not your worst enemy. Matter of fact, he's your best friend. He's knocking out all your foes, but you're trying to kill him. And he at the point where he's a fugitive in his own country.
Right.
Imagine being a fugitive in your own country. Your own people is looking to get you. And where could he go? That's why he went to the Philistines. Because anywhere he went in the land, somebody was going to shout him out. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So, you had to leave. You had to live in a cave for a while.
Exactly.
How many of us can live in a cave on the run? How many of us can live in a cave on the run?
Exactly.
But you have to have the Most High with you. And that's what he had. So he wasn't afraid. Matter of fact, he put his life on the line for other people. That's with him. He's not even thinking about himself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This is why the Most High really loved him, because while King Saul is thinking about himself, King David is thinking about other people and the land.
Exactly.
So his heart was right, mine. I know he was going through it, the trials and tribulations, but any great man goes through great trials and tribulations. So our great king had to go through trials and tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw his trials and tribulations. And they ain't easy at all. People want to be king. People want to be positions of power. But you had to go through it in order to really earn that position.
Exactly.
And hey, God made him earn it. Yeah.
I want to share something with you, too, before we finish up and before you move on. We had someone come on. I'm going to show you how rude people are. And I'm going to show you what lack of study is. Someone came on, they hit the button to talk. But I've never seen these people number out of Temple, Texas. Let me tell you about you people. See, what that tells me when you do things like that, I'm watching every move you make. A fool answer before they hear the matter. Now, you ain't heard nothing about what Cartier and talk, but you want to talk. Let me tell you something. When you come on this show, whatever you got in your hidden agenda or whatever you got going in, don't come over here, ain't nobody seen you, and be hitting number one like you so rude and inconsiderate. You don't want to hear what we saying. You want to say something. See, I already know where you're coming from. So don't come on the Real Talk. Let me put it out there. Don't come on the Real Talk for Real People show. You ain't hearing nothing, but you want to say something. And if you got something you want to say, won't you listen to what everybody else saying? Then you speak your mind. Don't come on and playing a little game, little boy, little girl game, because Yum Super ain't getting down like that. Okay? So whatever hidden agenda you got going on, you need to keep it where you at, stay where you at, because this ain't fool's paradise. Now, if you're about what y'all said, come on anytime. Listen up. Then speak your mind. But you're going to come on this show, you want to hit, you want to talk. Then this is the time you should be listening. So apparently, they talking about the Real Talk, Real People show. You want to show up, Cartrell. You want to show up, Yum Soup. You not going to show up, Cartrell. You not going to show up, Yum Soup, because you can't show up, y'all. Okay? So if you want to get out and show up, y'all, by all means. But don't come on here with this little boy, little girl game you got going on. Okay? You want to come on learn something? Come on learn something. You want to come on hear something? Come on hear something. Then once you heard something, then you said something. Thank you. Go ahead, Katria.
What was that all about?
Sometimes I got to school these folk, man. This ain't what's going down. This ain't where you try to showboat at. This is where you try to study where y'all at. If you want to showboat, this ain't the spot for that. Okay?
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Yamsu don't, Yamsu don't get down like that, Cartrell.
I hear you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So you think they came to throw a wrench in the show?
Yeah, bro. I mean, I've never seen a number out of Temple, Texas. Then they go, yeah, Temple, Texas. Then they're going to hit the one like they want to talk. Irregardless of what you're saying, like, shut up, Cartrell. Shut up, Yamsu. I need to say some. No, you don't need to say nothing.
Maybe they have a question.
Yeah, okay, wait till we get you talking, then we're going to let you talk. But you don't come on and interrupt Cartrell when he's talking. You don't come on and interrupt me when I'm talking. You're just rude. Now stop it. Go ahead, Cartrell.
I'm done. That's the analogy. That shot.
Thank
There's
you,
a lot
bro.
Going on. That Edomite didn't care. King Saul told him to kill the men, the priests. He went and killed women, children, ox, cows, goats, everything was in his way. That man had to be stopped. But
he's a real Cartrell. He was a real Derek Chauvin. Depraved.
He's a real dog.
A real depraved heart, Derek Chauvin. All right, Cartrell. We're ready for another study in the book of Ecclesiastes, the second chapter. And we're all ears, my brother. Thank you.
Give thanks. So praise we give thanks for King Solomon and his wisdom. And we know that Ecclesiastes is his reflection on the wisdom he's attained and the life that he's lived. And he's just preaching off the top or from the bottom of his heart. So in the second chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we give thanks again to the Most High for allowing us to access this wisdom. It says, I said in my heart, come now. I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under the heaven all the days of their lives. So he was messing around with fools, but I guess he played the fool himself just to search out, you know, all the experience of men. He didn't want to just be a king and see the world and life from that perspective because he started out very young, started out like 12 years old.
Right.
So I guess he's at the point in time he wants to know what a common man lives like. So he wants to know why people chase pleasure, why people chase folly, why they chase laughter. He says it's all madness, it's all vanity. He said, I made my work great. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools for which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had great possessions of herds, flocks, and all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delight of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who have before me and all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold from my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced at all my labor. And this was my reward for all my labor. Then I looked on all the work that my hands had done, and on the labor which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity in grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. So in the beginning of this spiel that he goes through, he's like telling you he's attained more than anybody else that you could imagine that came before him, whether it be King David, whether it be King Saul, whether it be the judges. He's achieved a point in the nation as a king to be able to do all these things in peace without war. And he's talking about how he built houses and attained all of this and all of that. And in the end, he realized it was all vanity. He said, indeed, all of it was vanity, a grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. So he didn't feel any profit with what he had. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. So he came to the conclusion, it's better to be wise than to be foolish. And it excels foolishness like light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. So he's saying, no matter if you're wise or you're a fool, you have to face life. So I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than it is for the fool forever. Since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come, and how does a wise man die as the fool? So he was wrong on that point because we remember him. He was rich and famous. He was a king. We don't remember the fools. We know King Solomon based on his wisdom. We do remember him. He thinks that he's been forgotten after he's died, but he hasn't been forgotten because his works live on. Therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing me for all his vanity and a grasping for the wind. So he's looking for, from a powerful man's perspective, he's saying no matter what position you're in, it seems like life is very depressing and distressing. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or fool, yet he will rule over my labor in which I toil and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore, I turn my heart and despair of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. But there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. Yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not yet labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor? For the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun. For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of Elohim. For who can eat or who can have enjoyment more than I? For Elohim has gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy to a man. Who is good in his sight. I'm going to read that again. For Elohim gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the works of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before Elohim. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. So that's King Solomon's perspective from the life that he lived. And you may agree or disagree with him, but he's talking about life from his perspective. And I kind of don't agree with some of the things that he's saying because we had great ancient men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose work we benefit from today because the Most High made an everlasting covenant with them and their descendants and their seed forever because of the works of their hands. Now, King Solomon is talking about all this labor that he did, and he's saying it's vanity because who knows if his sons or daughters or the people that's coming behind him are going to be wise or are they going to be foolish with the works that he has put forth. Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toil and in which I have sworn myself wise under the sun. So he thinks that's vanity, that he should leave his works to his children. But that's not a vain thing when you're able to leave your works to your children. Hopefully right. You pray that they are wiser than you and they can take it to another level, which he did from what he got from his father. So I'm sure that this reflection is just his frustration that he was expecting more from the position that he was born into and had inherited as a king.
All right. Thank you very much, Gautrell.
Yes, sir.
Seems like his heart was sort of twisted for a minute there, Contrail.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote that more so out of frustration and disappointment. Because, you know, we have to understand some junctures in his life, he had reached that curve, and he was turning back to Yah at some junctures in his life. And at some juncture, he was using only what I said, using that brain, that matter in his skull. But he hadn't finally made that connection with Yah, that reconnection with Yah. It gave him a whole different perspective. He was just meditating, just using that frontal lobe, that brain matter, because the heart of him was kind of warped at one juncture. And so when the heart makes a total connection with Yah, you tend to see things quite differently. And in defense of him, from his wisdom point of view, that would sound right. That would sound right, because using wisdom alone, knowledge alone, as Cartrell sometimes says. But knowledge alone would not suffice, okay? You have to make that connection with Yah in order to decipher things. And I think he was had reached that point in life where he was turning back to Yah. And he was just talking from his head, as we said, and not from the heart of a man that's connected with Yah. But Cartrell? Right.
It's almost like he went left for a minute.
Yeah,
he stepped down from his appointed position as king to explore what life was like. Because why would you explore folly? Why would you explore pleasure? Why would you explore these things when you already got the position that you got? So he wasn't satisfied seeing things for the position that he had inherited. So he kind of like stepped down to see the perspective. And it was like, what I'm seeing from this perspective is that it's vanity. It's materialistic. You know, good people die, bad people die, poor people, rich people, people that are wise, people are fools. The same thing seems to happen to them. But that's not true. A fool, a poor person, never experiences what King Solomon experienced in their lifetime. They wish they could experience what he experienced, but he tried to experience everything from his perspective. The important thing for him was that he reconnected with Yah in order to understand life better, because Yah is the creator, and he gives every man a mission and a purpose in the earth for his purpose, for his glory. And King Solomon seems to be coming to that realization that, yeah, we chase gold, we chase silver, we chase pleasure, we chase laughter, we chase folly. But in the end, it's a grasping for the wind.
Right.
You're never really satisfied, because you always want more. And he describes it as never like hell. It's never satisfied. It's like the grave that's never satisfied.
It was hell for him to look at life purely through that frontal lobe. And purely for any one of us, it would run you insane to be dependent on your mind, your thinker. Just to be totally in reliance of that with no connection with Yah, it'll run you stop craving mad, man. So you can't
resist. He's trying to use his sensor, his brain, but his heart is not in the job and the task that the Most High gave him to do.
But see, Katria, you see how this work is synchronized? Now, there's no way I would have read the second book of Ecclesiastes when I first made that conversation at the beginning of our study session about your heart. And you see how Yah is put all this stuff to enlighten those that want to be enlightened by Yah? He makes it simple, because when I set that stage about breaking down the mind and the heart, and Cartrell reads the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, then if you're connected with Yah, you understand what we're talking about. It becomes clear to you. Because the king is talking from a physical point of view, just that lobe without the connection with his heart, with Yah. And by virtue of talking like that, hey, everything just a total damn disappointment. Me leaning on my own understanding, leaning on my own finger, every damn thing is total damn disappointment. No Yah, no connection, no hope, no direction, no nothing. I'm just totally confused about everything. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And that's what it basically is. The king said it because he experienced it. He wasn't connected with Yah when he was talking like that. And when his heart got right, his whole perspective, you would see, as Cartrell continued on in this study, how his whole perspective started changing. His whole perspective. Anything else, Cartrell?
Oh, that's basically it, man. So much to feast on, meditate on.
Exactly. All right, Cartrell. Okay. Go ahead, brother.
We're blessed to be able to go through these books chapter by chapter and not do the jump around education. Because most times people go through the Bible, what they call a Bible. They want to go to this book and that book and this chapter and that verse. We're doing it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So you get a clear insight as to the full contents of what Yah and his message is to the people of the earth and in particular to his nation, Yisrael. So we're taking it one chapter at a time, one verse at a time, and we're deciphering step by step what is required by the creator of the universe.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, Cartrell, fellow students. Thank you, Cartrell. Cartrell and I don't know where y'all are going. We don't know much about anything. But we do know this with one certainty. Y'all finna get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show, Cartrell and I. We're happy to bring these lessons to you, these studies. Now, we brought them to you. We can't do no more. It's up to you. You must get the right application. And be that as it may, you got to have a good heart. Now, I ain't talking about that frontal lobe up in your skull. I'm talking about what motivates you, compels you to do the right thing. And we suggest that you do like King Darwin did. Get you a new one. And ask the Most High for one. One that loves him with all your heart. All of it. All of it. Not some of it, not half of it, not part of it. But all your mind, that frontal lobe, all your soul, and all your strength that loves your brother and sister as yourself. As King Darwin shows you how to do it. And so many more of the other leaders of our nation shows you how to do it. It's just not lip service. It's action also is required. And the Most High requires of it that we love one another, look out for one another, support one another, encourage one another, push each other in the right direction, not push each other over. That's what the Most High requires of you, not Yumsu, not Cartrell. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? We love you. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own. Understand that frontal lobe in your skull. But connect with the Most High through your heart. And let him direct and order your steps. That's the only way you're going to make it. That's the only way you're going to understand Yah. That's the only way you're going to follow Yah. That's the only way you're going to lean on Yah. That's the only way you're going to run to that rock of Yah. That's the only way you're going to run behind the shield of Yah. That's the only way you're going to hide beneath the pinions of Yah's wing. That's the only way you're going to hide up in that high tower. Meaning that everything about you, everything that you do is compliant and obedient to Yah. Not in word, but deed, but not only in word, but your actions also. Cartrell, thank you again, my brother and friend. Thank you again.
Thank you, brother.
It's a pleasure. A change is going to come, and you better believe it. We love you. And may the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classics.
I try, and I try. put him on a pedestal. Never thinking he hurt me this way.
Thank you.